Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What up, Saki?
Hey, Mo, what do you know? What a time to be alive, eh? The last time I saw you was a much simpler time. We were in my home city of Birmingham. It was less than that. I'm pretty sure it was like less than a month, but it feels it feels like a lifetime ago.
I know.
Before we get into all this madness that's going on, I got a really nice text the other day from my friend Thomas, who was obviously playing that night from American Pie, and he said he was walking into a grocery store the other day and Come On Eileen by Save Ferris came on, and it said it made him feel all happy. He was so stoked that you were there that night. He was like, if nothing else, I'm just glad that Monique got to see me play. So it was nice to see you, and nice to bring two friends from kind of different worlds but the same sort of overall universe together. It's a shame we couldn't have hung out for longer. Now I don't know when I'll see you next, or indeed when we'll see anyone.
This will blow over in the next 24, 48 hours, and good. It'll be good.
If only. Set the scene for us, Mo. What's it like in LA at the moment? What's the vibes out there? Are you in LA, or have you gotten out?
Well, the vibes are apocalyptic, but it's like, where I live in Hollywood is, I live in a complex, and I'm very close with all my neighbors, and the first part of it we were like, I'll meet you for drinks in the lawn, in the garden,
meet
for drinks in the garden and laugh, and now everybody's like, I'm busy right now. I have to clean this spot on my coffee table for the next 2 weeks.
Then that's it.
Yeah, but it's not like it's a ghost town. It's just really, like, I don't know. It's definitely not the Hollywood that I've ever seen before.
I can imagine. What have you been driving? Have you been about in your car? Or is that not really the done thing? Is that not really advised at the moment?
I've been about in my car a little bit, but there's really not many places to go at this point. Everything's closed except for the supermarkets. But I've been about in my car. It's just the streets are much less crowded, and I don't know. I actually haven't been out today, but
it's still early where you are, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's only 11.
Yeah, that's it. Especially for rock and roll. Rock and roll is like you and me. Are you an early riser generally? Right. I'm not.
Well, because I've been doing a lot of partying at home by myself.
Yeah, what
so
else is there to do?
So, well, that's how I justify it. It's like, come on, just drink the entire bottle of Jameson. Who's going to know?
I never used to drink at home, ever. Like, it was always something I did when I was out and I was socializing, and I'd never even stock alcohol in the fridge or the cupboards or anything. And since this lockdown, I'm like, oh god, it's 2 o'clock. Okay, I'm gonna need to just have a beer or something just to get me through the day. Beer. What is that, like pop?
Give it another few weeks, honey.
Work my way up to the hard stuff. You sound optimistic, though. You sound upbeat. Are you good in yourself?
I am. I actually, I kind of like isolating, and this makes me happy because I don't have to explain myself to anybody now.
There you go. Like,
yeah, so Monique, you've been so distant and isolated, and it's like, so have you.
It's doctor's orders. It's doctor's orders.
Yeah, exactly. So,
what have you been doing to pass the time other than drinking JMO? What's been going on?
That was the first thing I did. I went to like the wholesale warehouse. I was like, I just had this. I knew shit was gonna go down.
Yeah, I felt that too.
And I bought literally gallon-sized bottles of vodka and. You know, whiskey.
I love it.
And there are, I have like maybe 3 drops left. It's like, I
gotta
go back.
Gotta go back. Like, yeah, it's gonna be a little bit longer than we initially anticipated.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, I feel you.
I finished the gallon bottle of vodka within 48 hours.
I feel
like,
you.
This is depressing.
I mean, you're laughing it off, though. And I think, sense of humor and a sense of the absurd and the ability to be able to see the ridiculousness and all of that, I think has been helping quite a few people through the absurdity of it all. Never in our lives have we been through anything like this, have we? This is all new. This is brand new.
No, yeah. I mean, when this first started happening, because, when I was over there in the UK, I came over...
it's like January, February time, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I think I came back March.
It was super early March. It was like the week before my birthday you flew back. So yeah, it would have been, I think, third or the 4th of March, something like that, or maybe even the 5th.
I've only been home a month.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I was home like March 3rd.
And then almost
and
as soon as you got back.
I was back. There for like 6 weeks, and I have to say, I knew that there was something happening. So my best friend, before I got on the plane, gave me a little container full of vitamins.
Yeah.
So this was...
vitamins, That's what you call it.
Yeah. end of January. So this was end of January. And I knew that something was stirring. And I remember getting on the plane like end of January and just disinfecting everything, which I typically do, but this time I did it with more vigor.
Yeah.
And so then I was out there for a little while, sort of secluded in a way, just, and then I remember on the ride back, I just kind of knew something was coming, I knew, so I got home and stocked up, but I didn't think it would be at this level.
And
but it's
this
a good
is...
thing I have OCD, because I already had like, gallon-sized bottle of 70% rubbing alcohol.
Yeah, you're sanitized up to the hilt.
Oh, yeah, I had like a case of Clorox. Yeah, toilet paper was a hard one. Because people have gone really weird about toilet paper and bread here.
Yeah, toilet paper and pasta is the two rare commodities over here.
Ah, pasta.
Yeah, every time I get down the shop, because I'm a pasta guy. I like pasta. And every time I get to the shop, all the pasta's gone every day. I'm like, oh, God, again. So I just got rice. I just did a nice, like, huevos rancheros kind of thing where I had some tortilla and some rice and some beans and some egg and some avocado and... It was good.
That sounds delicious. So you're still at the place where you're actually, like, taking some sort of... you still have a little dignity left at this point. Now I'm just eating, like, plastic Solo cups full of instant mashed potatoes for dinner. And then half a bottle of whiskey.
Amazing.
Yeah, you guys are a couple weeks behind us, but give it time.
Monique, let's break for the first of your 5-song playlist to the end of the world. Then we'll come back and we will talk some more. What better way to get things going than with, David Bowie? What a beautiful song this is. Heroes.
Yes.
I love you for picking this.
Heroes.
See Jojo Rabbit recently?
Oh yeah.
How good was the end scene in that where they used this song? Beautiful moment.
Oh my god, I was crying.
Me too. The tears came a flooding. You know, that song's been used in so many films over the years, but I think that scene in particular was, it just hit home for me. It was such a sweet, beautiful moment where they start dancing together in the street. I loved it.
Me too. I saw that movie a few times. That was my favorite movie of last year.
Oh, was it? There you go.
That and Joker. I really just loved those two movies so much.
You know what? I think I'd probably say they were mine as well. And looking at your list, I mean, I knew that we had very similar tastes anyway, but looking at your list of songs, I won't give, you know, too much away just yet, but there's a lot of stuff in this that is absolutely indicative of my exact taste as well. So
yeah.
I'm loving these tracks.
How hard is it though to ask a musician to whittle it down to five songs? It's like,
I know. I mean, at least you've got a sort of a lead in that it's the context of the end of the world, so there's a kind of a premise on which to work in there. But yeah, I mean, you selected seven, and you were like, "Oops, that's seven." Trying to sneak two in. My friend the other day tried to do an entire concert, like a full album. I was like, no, he tried to have Queen Live Aid. I was like, you can have one song from Queen at Live Aid.
Queen Live Aid. That's actually a good one, though.
There you go. Yeah, it's just one consistent track. Just keep playing. What have you been doing to pass the time other than, you know, you've been moving furniture, you said. Have you been using this as a chance to do some home improvements and make yourself settle into the new pad?
Yes, exactly. Just cleaning things that I didn't even know existed before.
Yeah, or the or the needed cleaning.
Most people don't think of cleaning.
Yeah, you went deep.
Doing my nails and then taking off the polish and doing them again.
Been watching any films?
I just finished Netflix.
Completed it.
Yeah, I just completed Netflix.
Completed Netflix. Love it.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Tiger King documentary then?
Oh, yeah.
How's about that?
That's old news.
Done it. Smashed it.
Smashed it. So good. And it's funny because, like, every movie and miniseries or TV show that I've been watching is sort of run into the next one. So if you ask me, have you seen anything good? It's just like...
All of it.
I don't remember. I have no idea. I've just been sitting there going, this is interesting.
Have you been keeping a track on Days?
No.
No, they're gone at this stage. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Who cares? Yeah.
Did you have to cancel a lot of shows? Did you have much in the diary over summer that's been pulled or postponed?
Everything's done. Everything's postponed. Festivals, everything. You know, and the thing is that I'm like, you know, I'm really not that stressed out. Most of my response to shitty things that happen in life is that of acceptance.
Yep.
And it's seeming complacency. I'm not complacent. It's just I'm in a complete acceptance. Like, what else are you going to do? You're going to laugh or die.
Yep.
Like, those are your only two choices. So you better start laughing about this shit. Because but you know what? At least we're all going through this together.
Yeah, there's definite solace in that, I think. It's a communal plunge, isn't it?
A little freaked out or whatever, you know. I just think, hey, you know what? The entire world is going through this, you know.
What do you think the financial implications for the world are? I know you're not an economist, but I mean, it's so crazy. I was reading the other day, Mo, that the UK only just kind of got itself out of the debt which it got into from World War II, which ended in 1945, like 8 years ago. Apparently, it was only in the last decade that the United Kingdom got themselves back into, you know, the black, as it were, following World War II. And this whole thing that's happening right now is, I think, going to hit countries as hard as any war's ever done. In financial terms. And we're going to be getting over this for like generations to come, aren't we? Thank God we don't have that much longer left, me and you.
Well, the way I've been drinking, I'm already halfway to liver failure. So.
it's completely mad though, isn't it? The level of debt and just economic despair that's going to, you know, still hit. Like, it's still very early days for a lot of that, but...
I'm more concerned. I mean, you know, the United States, we know what it's like to be in debt. Like, I don't remember a time where we've ever not been in debt, honestly. Like, maybe 5 minutes when Clinton was president, maybe when Reagan was president for 15 minutes, but he had to, like, pull funding from every single mental health facility in the country in order to do it. And that's why I believe we have such an impressive homeless population in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Which, you know, who else would I have to talk to at this point? It's like, I go for a walk around the block. It's like, hey, Frank. And he's like, I'm not Frank today. I'm Stuart. I'm like, so, you know what? Now I have two friends instead of one. But the...
I know what you're saying. There's just,
you
I mean...
You know, I think we just... It's like, what are you going to do? You know, it's a global effort at this point to figure this out. It's the greatest minds on the planet, the most educated people on the planet are coming together to try and figure out these issues, and they're worldwide. It's not, you know, and so, I mean, they're in America, it's the reason why we pay taxes, although people forget why we pay taxes here, because when you don't get medical insurance out of it and,
you know,
45% of people are dying because they can't afford their medical payments, or 25% of people are dying or just living with some sort of illness because they can't afford medical payments, you know, it's like, oh, why are we paying taxes again? And we all hope that this is the reason why, that hopefully somewhere somebody's been putting those little dollars away for something like this to happen.
This is the global rainy day, isn't it? This is that global rainy day that hopefully the world has been stashing and saving for.
Yeah, but it hasn't been.
Because I haven't. You know? I know I haven't.
Well, you know, I mean, like, our federal government is bailing us out here in the United States to the best of its ability. And I do believe that it's, you know, I do have a lot of hope in regards to what's going to come of that. Because, you know, even the people who work at the credit card companies who will be trying to collect on the debt are also in debt. So, you know, everybody is going through this. And I really think it's time for the top 1% of the United States to just, like, you know, how
distribute
hard
that
is
wealth.
It to be a, you know, a half a billionaire instead of a multi-billionaire?
Yeah.
It's like, you'll be okay if you give up, you know, 40% of your, you know, cash assets. You'll be fine, and you'll save the world, basically.
I was chatting to my friend Chuck from the Mad Caddies about this the other day, and we were saying, yeah, like, once you get to £1 billion or dollars or whatever the currency is, you get a badge which says, well done, mate, you've completed capitalism, and now anything that you earn above that, you need to distribute through, you know, healthcare and charity and things like that. If only,
yeah,
that could be,
like,
the case.
Who needs $1 billion, honestly? Who needs it? You know, if you were, I mean, can you, how many zeros is in a billion? I was talking to someone about this the other day. It's like, well, a million, isn't that 6 zeros?
A million, six, yeah. What would a billion be then, yes. 9 or 12?
A billion?
Yeah.
Well, I think a billion would be 7. Am I wrong about that?
No, well, who knows?
A million is 6.
We'll be here all day.
Oh, then there's 10 million, 100 million.
A million, million.
And then a billion.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't care.
Math saying our strong suit, is it?
Yeah. Why do I need it? I don't even need to know how many zeros are in a billion. All I know, it's a lot. And I know that the people who have $1 billion can't even count to a billion. So it's like, you know, I give some up. Give some up, man. Give it up.
Let's break for another track, Mo. Devo. I was hoping to get out to Los Angeles in May, actually. It won't be happening anymore because the gig won't be. But did you see there was this concert happening? It was like Morrissey, Blondie, Devo, Psychedelic Furs, like all the 80s stuff. It looks so good.
I was already getting tickets and passes for that show.
Amazing. Well, if it gets rescheduled, then I'll hopefully try and get out and we'll go together.
That would be very cool. Yeah, I'm trying to, I'm trying to get the Cadillac there.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that would be a cool experience for people and a great way to raise money for the foundation and for the restoration of Joe Strummer's Cadillac.
Well, we're going to play some Joe Strummer in a bit as well, but let's play Devo first, then we'll come back, then we'll have a chat, then we'll play some Clash. This is Smart Patrol, Mr. DNA.
He's been with the world.
Here's something I wanted to ask you, Mo.
Yeah.
The impact of this is obviously, as you say, it's massive. It's completely unprecedented. It's worldwide. I think that depending on what age you are in your life, not even just in terms of like your ability to, you know, bounce back from the virus if you get that, but I've been chatting to people who are parents at the moment, and I kind of wish I was younger. You know, I'm a little bit older and jaded now, and for me, like, I've been slogging away and hustling for the last 10 years, and I feel like if I don't make it through this year doing what I'm currently doing, then it might be time for me for a segue and a sidestep and a whole new profession. What are you feeling like as a musician? It's going to hit the industry so hard, isn't it?
If you're in a ska band to make money, you picked the wrong profession.
Well, certainly in 2020, yeah. Maybe.
Oh, it was never an endeavor that was going to make us billionaires, you know. It was something we did because we loved it and we were able to pay the bills. So I've always had other things going on, lots of interests and hobbies and things that make me really happy that also, fortunately, make me a little bit of money.
Yep.
To be able to throw around and be able to drive a decent car. And that's all I ever wanted. I never really cared about being the most famous or the richest because, like, I knew that it was really more about the quality of my life than the quantity of the things that I possessed, you know?
Yeah, so, amen to that. But even to have a certain quality of life, you need a basic level of income, right? Sadly.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people say, money makes things a lot easier. It makes possibilities easier. But I choose to not really see life like that. I think possibilities are endless and anything is possible. And if I want something bad enough, I get it because I'm willing to work hard for that. And I just know how to not take no for an answer.
Yeah, you're a born hustler like me.
Yeah, but it's also about being a good person in the process for me because I just want to be a person of integrity and hurt as few feelings as possible and have as few, you know, the smallest amount of collateral damage when it comes to doing what I do. And unfortunately, there are some ghosts in my wake. But I do my best to try and remedy those situations because who knows where you'll be tomorrow, you know?
As this whole thing's shown us, absolutely.
Yeah.
Have you been using this time to extend the olive branch and perhaps reach out with any, you know, fallen friends, perhaps?
I've been really, honestly, I've been just in a place of self-reflection and, mostly just avoidance. It takes all my energy to just avoid the reality of what's going on right now. I'm exhausted.
Are you in a good place in yourself, though? Say, just before all this hit, did you find yourself in a, you know, a place of happiness and content?
Yeah, I was getting there.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, I believe that I really come into my own sense of being when the shit hits the fan.
When the chips are down.
Yeah, I think I'm better in those situations. So as soon as the shit hit the fan, I was baking cookies and cupcakes for everybody. And, you know, like, sort of, for me, I'm good at rising to the occasion when there's a global pandemic or somebody gets stabbed or,
when the occasion calls. Yeah.
Yeah. But don't get me wrong. I made sure I have a full tank of gas and a bag pack that's in the car just in case I need to take off.
You got to have those contingency plans in place.
Yeah.
You got it.
But I also made sure I was stocked with enough cupcake mix to get me through the next few months.
Tell me more about this Joe Strummer Cadillac you're in possession of, and the charity, the foundation with that. How did that car enter your life?
My ex-husband and I are big Clash fans, and we had a friend who was friends with Joe who had been placed in guardianship of the car.
Like, and it's a kid. I love it.
Huh?
Like the car's a kid. It's got its own guardian.
It is. It's, yeah, because it's not, it's never going to be ours. It's Joe's. You know, he loved that car so much. And anyway, so we knew about the car, but we also didn't know what was happening with it. And we'd ask my friend often what's happening with the car. And eventually, I mean, it took like 6 years before we were able to have a discussion with him and say, why don't you let us help make sure this car doesn't just turn into a pile of rust, and instead use it to give people the experience of being a little bit closer to Joe, but also his, you know, ideals. And so the Joe Strummer Foundation, we got in touch with the Joe Strummer Foundation, and we're just trying to restore the car at this point. So what we do is we had it at punk rock bowling, and it was really beautiful to see people's responses. Like, people who knew Joe really just wanted to be with the car and sit inside of it. And they remembered him. They remembered the car. Then there were people who just loved the Clash, like little girls who sat in the car and just started crying.
Wow.
Yeah, because Joe was a lot more than just a musician. He was a million things. And I didn't know him personally, but through getting this car, wanting to honor him, I've done a lot of research, and with my ex-husband, we've just met a lot of people and done a lot of research on the car, and we have footage of Joe talking about the car, and there's pages and pages written on the car in biographies about Joe. And, you know, this was a lot more than just a possession to him. This was a statement he was making. He had this rusted top 1955 Cadillac that was his baby, and he loved it. He loved that it was rusted through, and he loved that it symbolized a number of things to him. But because it was a luxury car in the 50s,
yeah,
that it's sort of like, you know, in the 80s, it was not in great condition, but now it's in very, very, very dire condition. Like, we got the car running, but the body is, it's bad. The floorboards are falling through. And we just want to be able to allow people to sit in the car and have the experience with the car. But unfortunately, our fundraising efforts have slowed to, yeah, to a stop.
Along with the rest of the world, yeah.
Yeah. And so we're just... yeah, we're going to take that up later, but...
Well, the Cadillac will ride again. I have no doubt about that.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's in safe hands.
It really is, and I'm happy. It's not like it's a badge that I wear. You know, I have this car. It's more like I feel like my ex-husband and I have been entrusted with something that's very precious, but that's not ours. Ultimately, it belongs to the world, and I'm feel honored that I've been given the opportunity to, like, you know, be able to use the car for something special, to raise money for the foundation or bring awareness to Joe's fans about what he was about. but also just give people the experience to be a little bit closer to the man behind the myth. And this is the closest a lot of people are going to get to Joe, just sitting in that car. So, but yeah, so it's definitely a very important cause in my life. It is something I do love, but so that's that situation. And one of the songs that was on my list that I had to take off was Joe Strummer's version of Redemption Song, but I did keep a Clash song on there. I just flipped a coin, but
tough call.
I feel like Joe's version of Redemption Song is
perhaps more really appropriate in these times.
Not only is it appropriate, but it also, I feel, embodied a level of sensitivity and awareness that I can imagine he was about. So
let's go with that one.
We should put that song on instead of the Clash song.
Let's do it then. This is Joe Strummer.
Can I change it? Yeah.
Redemption Song. Beautiful cover as well.
Old pirates, yes, they rob I, sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We got to fulfill the book. So won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, redemption songs, redemption songs, redemption songs. Old pirates, yes, they rob I, sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from a bottomless pit. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We got to fulfill the book. So won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, these songs of freedom. 'Cause all I ever had, redemption songs, these songs of freedom, these songs of freedom.
That leads me quite nicely into what I wanted to talk to you about next. Are you going to look at doing any, you know, it seems to be what everybody's doing now, and, you know, a lot of people can't really sing half as well as you can, Mo. Are you going to be doing any home streaming, live streaming, connecting with Save Ferris listeners around the world through the means of the World Wide Web in the wake of, you know, lockdown and isolation? Because I feel like you should, and I feel like, you know, people would love to hear it and see it.
Yeah.
Have you been toying with that idea at all?
Well, I signed off of social media probably back in November.
Yeah.
I just needed a break. I just needed to be present in my life for the things that were happening at that time. And even now I need to be able to be present, but I have definitely been thinking of coming back. You know, I think that I do suffer from the case of like, from a case of who's going to give a shit? It's just me.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, but then I think about the people that I really look forward to hearing from on television, on radio, all the time. Like, there are certain things that I watch or listen to every day that make me happy.
Yep.
And if I can do that for anybody, even if it's just like my sister or, you know, my family or whatever, then I think that would be purpose enough. But so, yes, I've definitely been thinking about it.
I think you need to stop thinking, Mo, and get on the case.
Thanks, Matt Stocks. Well,
I think the world needs it.
Always.
You got to get the costume on. You got to get dolled up to the nines.
Yeah, and that's not going to happen.
And you got to wow the world. You got to wow the world with song. We need it now, Mo.
Song thing, maybe. I don't know about putting on the wig right now, but
we need sparkles. We need glitter. We need show business. We need.
That would actually be hilarious if I just sort of put on the entire get up and just walk down the street. Yeah. It's like barren right now.
Just get some broken up, battered acoustic guitar and, yeah, just film a little video of you walking down Hollywood, the only human
like
in sight.
Yeah, like platform heels and a wiggle dress and full makeup and wig. There's no one there.
There you go.
What up, everybody?
Comedy as well. We need that too. No, you definitely need to do something. I feel like as well, for me, doing these shows every day and talking to friends all over the world has kept me sane and happy and upbeat and optimistic and connected. And I feel like, I know what you're saying, sometimes there's so much noise and bullshit online on social media that you do have to pull back and focus on yourself and your engagement with the real world around you. But I do feel like now the positive side of social media is really coming to the forefront, and it's bringing people together in a way that I've never seen it do before. And just for like creative people like you, who, you know, have so much to offer, I feel like you'd be denying yourself and us, Mo, the magic if you don't
really
do something.
Nice, Matt Stocks. I think that's a great idea. It's definitely something that I've been thinking about, and you know, I also want to be able to bring something to people. I don't want it to just be like about me either. But
why don't you do some covers or something?
Huh?
Why don't you like get people to vote on which covers they'd love you to interpret and sing?
Yeah.
And bring people in that way.
I know. That's a great idea. And also, I've been.
And baking cookies.
Yeah,
get Mo's cookery show on the go.
Library of instructionals. For things that I create and make and fix and craft. And so I was thinking of maybe starting to put those up.
You know, soon. When we first met and you were telling me how you were cooking dinner for all the boys in your stage costume and heels. And
yeah.
I was like, that's such a great image. That's what you should do right there. Get the full costume on and just do like a 1950s style baking show.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Then you could, you know.
I actually have pictures of me in full costume, like 1950s bathing suit and goggles with a table saw in my house because I was...
I love it. Of course you do.
I was cutting siding for my new bathroom. So I swear to God, I'll have to send you the photo.
Please do.
There's actually a few. They're pretty funny.
You're a big soul diva, and I love that you've picked a couple of soul songs. The second to last one, the penultimate track on your list, is Ann Peebles' "I Can't Stand the Rain." Tell me about this song and what it, you know, means on a personal level to you, Mo, in these end time scenarios as well.
Oh, you know, I was thinking a little bit. It's now that I think about the lyrics of that song, and I think, oh wow, that really is very interesting, but. The songs that I picked were songs that, I don't know, the sounds and the musicianship and the melodies, but also the instrumentation of the songs for me are very interesting, and they're songs that I listen to on a deeper level, not just lyrically.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think about this song and I think, wow, oh, that's interesting. I wish it was raining more right now. No, actually, I don't.
I'm really glad it's springtime. I'm so glad that this didn't start in what would have been, you know, UK winter. Because that really would have been miserable. Like, at least now it's quite nice here. I don't know whether you've, like, FaceTimed Aid at all or seen the weather here. But it's kind of nice. It's clear. It's sunny. It's fresh. And have you noticed that as well? I know everybody drives in LA and there's a lot of pollution there. Have you noticed that there's, you know, a little bit of detox and cleansing going on with the world? Is that notable in a city like Los Angeles at the moment? It's certainly notable here.
No. Because I remember, you know, growing up out here, how bad the air quality was. And I just even maybe 6 months ago, I remember talking to my sister and saying, where'd the smog line go? There used to be a smog line over all of Los Angeles. It's kind of brownish, orangey. And over the last 25 years or so, we've been able to really clean up the environment here air-wise. And it's interesting to see the results paying off. But smog does create beautiful sunsets. That's very colorful sunsets. But I think it's more like noise pollution is down.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Traffic is down. Just the entire feeling of this city has become a lot easier for me to handle because it was pretty hectic before, which is fine, you get used to it, but
especially Hollywood.
Yeah
I can't stand the rain against my window, bringing back sweet memories. Yeah, when the rain, how sweet it used to be. Just one.
Have you been keeping up with the news? What's your thoughts on the virus itself?
Well,
we don't need to go down the whole rabbit hole of that. We don't need to go down the whole rabbit hole of that, but just, you know, your overall thoughts. Have you been watching and reading and keeping up with everything and the development? And
yeah, well, since the beginning, I've been looking at China and looking at their numbers. And but I've, unfortunately, what we had going for us when we first got into taking this seriously was the studies on a few thousand people in China that were some of the first people to get the virus, obviously near Wuhan. I truly believe that, and I think maybe I'm being too optimistic, but I would like to believe it's not going to take as long and there won't be as many fatalities as we think. And I think it's because we're all in this together. We're sort of participating to try. By staying home and not being a dick, you're saving other people's lives. You know, and I've seen so much love and effort and bravery come out of people all over the world. And I think together, we're going to, it's going to become obsolete, sort of like, I feel like it's something like chicken pox, like everybody.
Or polio or something,
Yeah, well, I don't know about polio, but, you know, I mean, yes, obviously it's very, you know, my mom is in very, very, very high risk category for this. And it's definitely, you know, worried me. And so my concern is for everybody, but mostly the people who are in the high risk categories here. And I watched And the Band Played On the other night, which I feel not only is it a movie that is still, you know, it stands the test of time, but it's also very relevant for what's happening now, because I lived through a portion of the AIDS epidemic when I was a kid, and it really hit home for me, because I had a lot of friends that I lost during that time, people I was very close to. And in watching that movie, you see how the CDC and the world's scientists on viruses came together to try and
cure it,
stop the spread
of
this disease. But because we were living in a different time, and because it wasn't a global pandemic in there, you know, because it was perceived as a gay disease or whatever.
Yeah, there was the latent homophobia and racism and prejudice, wasn't there, surrounding AIDS?
Too many people felt that they were immune, so it didn't really become their concern.
Yeah.
But I look at the numbers of people who have died from AIDS, and I just think, I think about the years, how long it took for anybody to be able to get the funding, just to get the funding to be able to do the research to find some sort of immunization or treatment for that. And I think now this has affected every single person in the world, and because of that, I believe that and because, you know, there's still a little bit of stigma. I think a lot of kids think, oh, it's an old person virus. But again, just like with HIV and AIDS back in the day, we were all going, wait a minute, anybody can get this, slow down. But unfortunately with that, I feel like the only time the world started to take notice was when heterosexual people, quote unquote heterosexual people, were getting it through blood transfusions. Wealthy people were getting it, hemophiliacs and stuff like that. So with this situation, I see the numbers dwindling. I also believe that the numbers are growing exponentially more quickly now because testing has become more widely available. So I do think that that's definitely affecting the numbers of how many people are getting the virus. And it's important to focus on how many people are recovering from it. But to also recognize the severity of how easy, like, we don't even know for sure how easily we can catch it through the air, through breath, not even through a cough.
Yeah.
And
that's the thing that's a trip about it all, is there's so much uncertainty and misinformation and confusion, and it's still so early, isn't it?
I think it is, but I also think we know a lot more now than we knew even 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, true.
A lot more, because now we have 4 more weeks of results of studies and observation of people in other countries who have gone through the worst of the pandemic, who seem to be maybe pulling out of it. It seems to be slowing in other areas, but I also don't, I don't want to forget how many people of a certain age die of pneumonia every day.
Mm-hmm.
In the world. In America, pneumonia is a very, very high, if you're over a certain age, you know,
high mortality rate.
People, they die from, when they're older, they have sepsis or they die of pneumonia here.
Yeah.
That's usually what sort of takes people out. So this is a much, much stronger version of that. But it's like all of us can get it, but also remember, try and keep in mind the people that are also recovering from it. While just being aware of everybody else around you, which is just an interesting thing for Americans, I think, in general, for us to think about anybody else.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's across the board as well, with the very kind of self-centered, I think, you know, narcissistic, ego-driven culture which we've entered into in the 21st century. This is, yeah, this has been a great check for that. And it's, you know, I think going to hopefully have a really positive long-term, I hope anyway, positive long-term impact where it makes us change the way we act and behave and look at people around us and conduct, yeah, ourselves in the world. And if we make it through, there's a lot of good times to come, I think.
There is, but I also am seeing the potential for change, particularly in Americans, how what was so important before is not so important now.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
now you have an entire planet that's reading the news, listening to the news, and watching the news. And now we're bringing everybody to task. Now we're looking at all of this with a discerning eye, because now we're able to absorb it. You take away all the other stimulus, and I gotta be at work, and I have to make this much money, and I have to do this and this and that today. You know, well, today I can't leave the house. I don't really have anything to do. So why don't I become informed? And I think a lot of people are becoming more informed, not just about this pandemic, but also a lot of the issues around it. I know, in America, in times of duress, government figures use that as a time to distract us.
Of course.
From the other issues, so they pass these ridiculous environmental laws or take more rights away from women.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's starting to happen now, where the Obama era environmental, what was it called? Like the, they were, you know, the Trump administration sued California because they had sent, they had set the highest emissions laws on the automobile industry in the country. And our government has used that as, they've used this pandemic as a way to turn those laws
to reverse them. Yeah.
To reverse them. And these are, this is, I mean, this is a case that was lost in court, not just one court, but a couple of courts and
a couple of courts.
Like the higher up courts said, you know what, can't sue a state for doing what the people want.
Yeah.
That was, it was the democracy that said that we want this dude in charge and this dude is the one who's speaking for us. And everybody was totally okay with that. And I don't know why it was an issue that we had to roll this stuff back, but yeah, that's exactly what has happened this week. And on the upside, people are noticing.
Yeah, and I think hopefully that the likes of Trump and Boris will, you know, we hope not be able to get into power again. Please.
Yeah, exactly. And
because people will wake up to their bullshit.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I think this is changing civilization for generations to come, in the sense that all of a sudden we're grasping on, we've been forced to stop.
Yes.
And take notice and feel things in a different way and reprioritize on a global level. And it's as shitty as all of this is, I believe it was so necessary. And hopefully most of us can pull our heads out of our asses and really be very present for all of this and recognize, A, how lucky we are to be alive, B, how lucky we are to have all of these people that are putting themselves, exposing themselves to the virus to be able to help others, and C, also become more informed, not just about the pandemic or the virus, but become informed about what's going on in other areas of the world. It's not just your backyard.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Monique, I'm with you. What a nice chat. What a nice catch-up.
Heyo.
We're going to play out with Bill Withers, your fifth and final song. I love the music in this. I love that slinky, I don't know what it is, whether you call it a riff or the melody or whatever, but there's some cool stuff going on in this song. And Bill Withers is just one of the best to ever do it. I always love listening to his music. He's kind of like the witching hour artist for me. When I get to that late point in the night when, you know, I've had a few drinks, starting to drift away a bit, get the Bill Withers on, start to feel that soul deep inside me. I love it.
So I love that, like,
so good,
I don't
isn't
know
it?
And it's the same thing with that Ann People song with the
slinky
these like weird funky sounds that they were using probably for the first time, like there was very new. It was a very new kind of instrumentation at the time when they were using them. So.
60s psychedelica creeping into soul, isn't it?
Oh my God, yeah, it's like so great.
Well, listen,
even replicate that now. It's like, what happened?
I know. I feel like that whenever I listen to the old stuff. I'm like, man, what went wrong? anyway, Mo, get yourself online at some point. I want to see something. I want to see some, you know, either shows or cookery classes. I want to see some magic being put out into the world from your corner. I think the world needs it.
Aw, thanks, Matt Stocks.
Thank you.
I'm going to do that.
Please
for sure
do.
After I take a toothbrush to these floorboards.
You know, a clean house is a clean mind, is a clean show. Mo, so good catching up with you, and I do hope we can see each other again in the not too distant future. Until then, don't be a stranger. Yes. All right.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.